We have two options in life. One of our options leads to peace and the other to stress. We can either be guided by biblical principles or by feelings and the pressures of the moment. We can be led by the Holy Spirit or be influenced by our environment. We can live confidently under God's direction or constantly react to whatever circumstances arise. The Bible is our instruction book for living. The Bible contains wonderful advice. Young people, I want you to listen to me. God's interested in every area of your life. He loves you. He don't want you to be hurt in any way. My advice to you is to acknowledge him in all of your ways. Acknowledge him. That's what the book of Proverbs says. It's one of many passages of real good instruction. So my purpose today is to share some of these principles that have guided me through the years. There's certainly many more, but I believe these to be the most influential to help you with what you're going through. The first one I'd like to share with you is obey God and leave all the consequences to him. Obey him, but leave those consequences to him. I believe this would be the foundational one of all for you to live by. We must know what God wants us to do. And we can do that by reading his word. That's why we need to learn to listen to him. It's essential. It's easy to act on our own. We do that automatically. But how many times have you acted on your own only to get you in deeper trouble? How many times have you taken the situation in your own hands when you really should have left God take care of it? It's easy to act on our own. We need to be guided by the Lord and his word. The second thing I want you to do is trust the Lord for every need. Don't ever think that something you're thinking about is not important. If the Lord knows the hairs of your head are numbered, do you think everything is important to him? When he's taken the time to even know the very hairs of your head, he knows that. If he knows that, don't you think everything that you're going through is important to him? It is. I think sometimes we're a little reluctant to obey him because we want him to give us all the details about what will happen. Huh? We're interested in the details. That's what we like to know. But the Lord isn't obligated to reveal that to us. He wants us to trust him with those unknown consequences. That's what he wants you to trust him for. But I don't know. That's okay. There's some things it's better for you not to know. You believe that? There's some things you're better off not to know. So let them up to him. That's why it might take courage to be obedient to him. Sometimes it takes courage to do that, to step out and do that. One of the ways he builds trust in it is through trials. That's how he helps us to trust him, is through our tests and trials we have in our life. When we face opposition, when we face failure, and yes, doubts. Thomas certainly was one that trusted after he's seen Jesus. It was important for him to see him. But Jesus said, Thomas, it's more important and more blessed for those who have not seen me and believe in me. It's far more blessed. But for his sake, the Lord appeared again for Thomas to thrust his hand in his side, to put his fingers in the nail prints of his hand, Jesus saw fit to come back again and let Thomas do that. But we're more blessed because we've not been able to do that, and yet we believe. And so we are more blessed. The Lord is trustworthy. We can rest in absolute assurance that he'll keep every promise that he has made. And so instead of looking at the circumstances and worrying about our situation, he invites us to rest in his faithfulness, even when we feel like we're hopeless and sometimes helpless. When we're facing our hardships, that's when we discover how trustworthy our Lord is. Thirdly, waiting upon God for his direction. Mike mentioned that in his Sunday school lesson. Waiting upon God for his direction and his timing. Oh, his timing. I can talk about his timing. God had perfect timing. Our tour guide, which you'll get to see, kept telling us how fortunate we were. He said of all the tours he's done, he was the same age as I was, born in December. He said of all the tours he did, he said this is the only one he remembers that never had no rain involved in the tour. There was just no rain. God just gave us a beautiful week. He said it rained the day before you came, and it was calling for rain the day you were told to leave. He said, and another thing, which was wonderful, is because they've been pretty much shut down for 2 years because of COVID, and we were one of the first groups to return. So what was nice is that when we got to the sites, we were able to take nice pictures because we didn't have a lot of people. We were able to walk to everything. We didn't have to wait in line. That was one of the things he mentioned. He said in this particular place, he said, I remember, he said, and he would tell us, he said, there was rows, he said, like this in the basilica. There was rows like this, he said, that we had to wait 3 and 4 hours just to get through the line to see it. And he said, we walked in. We just walked in. Oh, I'm talking about God's timing. His timing is perfect. Perfect. Your prayers had something to do with that, by the way. I felt your prayers. I've seen them at work. It was wonderful. It was a real blessing. Wait on him. We always think we know the best course of action, but I can tell you the Lord's the only one who knows the future, and that's why we should wait on him to guide us. He has infinite wisdom. He has infinite knowledge. He has infinite understanding. And during the time that we're waiting, he is working in our lives to prepare us to put together those circumstances according to his perfect timing. His perfect timing. He prepares because he knows what is best for us. Young people, he knows what's best for your life. Don't you be over concerned about a mate, because he knows what mate will be best for you. He knows what's best for you. Don't you just go out and pick one. You wait on God and let him pick it. And I'll tell you, he knows what's best. He knows the future. He knows what's best because he never makes mistakes. It may not always be what we want, but it will always be what we need. The Lord always acts on behalf of those who are willing to wait on him. Isaiah 64 and verse 4. Fourthly, give generously to the Lord's work. It's an amazing promise. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 8 and 10. God is able to make all grace overflow to you, so that always having all sufficiency in everything, you may have an abundance for every good deed. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. He's able to do that. He wants to do that. I've spoke very, very few times about giving. But God loves a cheerful giver. And don't try to keep track of it when you're giving. Don't give with the intention or the motivation to receive, because that's the wrong motivation. But if you give, you will receive. But don't give with that motivation, because God will bless you beyond measure. He loves cheerful givers. You give and forget how much. One somebody asked me one time, Pastor, should I tithe on my gross or my net? Well, that's pretty simple. You want gross blessings or net blessings? Pretty simple. Yeah, there's nothing hard about that. Want gross blessings or net blessings? It really isn't difficult. Give as you have the ability to do so. The Lord doesn't expect that much more out of you. Give what you have the ability to give. Remember the lady with the widow's mite? The Lord sat over by the treasury that day, and he watched what people were giving. He saw what they put in. And here come this lady, and she just gave a widow's mite. And he said she gave more than all of you did. Now, monetarily wise, she did not. But she gave what she didn't have. She sacrificed even that which she gave. It was a sacrifice for her to give that. And so God said she gave more than any of you did. Because you gave out of your abundance, she gave out of her want. What a difference. What a difference. When we give generously, God commits to himself to supplying our needs. He commits himself to us. If you're willing to do that, God's willing to commit himself to you, because it's a promise that he's given to you to give. It makes it possible for us to continue to contribute to his work and through the church. It should never be to make more money. But we need to just continue to walk obediently before the Lord. Generosity will protect us from greed. Generosity will protect us from selfishness. Generosity will protect us from materialism. And it will teach us to rely on the Lord to provide whatever he desires us to have. What he desires us to have. That's interesting. I gave God permission to only give me what he knows that I can handle. Don't give me any more. I only want what I can handle. What you think I can handle is okay with me. Fifthly, admit that you can't live the Christian life solely by yourself. That was a point I gave you early on. Paul expressed this in Galatians 2:20. I think I told you how I can remember that verse. There's certain things that helps me to remember. How many of you know anything about electricity? How many of you know the difference between 220 and 110? What happens if you get them mixed up? 220 will fix you on it. It'll do what the scripture says. Galatians 2:20 says, I'm crucified with Christ. You'll get a shocking experience if you can't figure out the difference. So that's how I remember Galatians 2:20. I'm crucified with him. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives within me. And the life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me. And he gave himself for me. Sixthly, accept that God loves you unconditionally. You need to understand that. You can't do anything that will make God stop loving you. Think about your children. Could your children ever do anything for you to stop loving them? No. Love them unconditionally. Even though sometimes they might hurt you. Even though sometimes they might make decisions that you know are not a good decision to make. It's just not good thing to do. But sometimes you just have to let them make them decisions on their own. Because no amount of advice that mom and dad sometimes can give can fix it. Because you're just old-fashioned, funny dad. What do you know? So, love unconditionally. When Jesus prayed for his followers, he said that the Father loved them just as he loved him in John 17:23. There is nothing that we have to do to earn that love. It isn't based on us. It's based on the nature of God and our union with his Son. There's nothing we can do to make God love us any more or any less. And certainly there's nothing that we can do to separate us from his love. Wow. He really does love me, don't he? Yes, he does. Seventh thing, know that God is in absolute control of every circumstance of life. He is in absolute control of every circumstance. We are not victims of our circumstances or somebody else's actions. The Lord is sovereign over everything. Even painful and difficult situations. We know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love him, to those who are called according to his purpose. Romans chapter 8 and verse 28. This verse assures us that the Heavenly Father is engineering every circumstance. It's for our good and for his glory. It should serve as a great source of comfort for you to know that. He is always faithful. And he can take every great adversity and use it to build and to strengthen us. Eighthly, depend on the Holy Spirit for everything. Our Lord wants us to recognize our absolute dependence upon him. That's what he wants from us, our absolute dependence on him. It's the only way we'll grow and we'll be protected from pride. As a child matures, he becomes more independent. But you see, in the spiritual realm, the more we depend on the Father, it demonstrates maturity in us. So he gave us his Holy Spirit to teach us. He gave us his Holy Spirit to transform us. He gave us his Holy Spirit to empower us. We don't need to live defeated lives. You can live victoriously. Let the Holy Spirit work in your life. If you have a habit that's been a problem, it's been hard for you, depend on the Holy Spirit. Let the Holy Spirit work in your life and give you the power to overcome it. He's wanting to help you. Ninthly, make your personal time of meditation with God a priority. Make it a priority in your life. You'll be amazed at how much better your day will go if you'll be willing to spend a few minutes with the Lord before you rush out on your day. Make it a priority. Spend time with him. You can't do anything that would be more fruitful and more valuable than this. Begin each day by spending time with him in prayer and in the scripture. Reflect on his word in your life. Humble yourself before him in worship and praise. And then you'll be able to obediently apply what you've learned. And then lastly, recognize that the gospel of Jesus Christ is the power of the Holy Spirit. And it can penetrate the most hardened heart and life you can ever imagine. Some of you have seen those lives transformed even before your eyes as you've seen the power of God and the word of God go forth. You've seen it. Steve, I know you've seen it. Working with prisoners, some hardened criminals. You've seen what the word of God can do for them. It can change them. It can make them sweet and precious. And they are precious in his sight. The Holy Spirit can penetrate the most hardened hearts and transform lives and change eternal destinies. So never be ashamed to share the gospel, because it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Is your life guided by biblical principles? Or are you letting circumstances and feelings and the pressures dictate the course of your life, adding nothing but stress and worry? Live by God's principles and free yourself from worry and burdens and fears. God's sovereignty can happen in every event in your life. Let his sovereignty affect every area of your life to bring you comfort. These principles, I pray that you'll be able to use in your life. They require trusting in God instead of yourself. What fears and desires tend to hinder your trust in the Lord today? Heavenly Father, thank you for this privilege I had today to share your precious word and these principles to your people. Lord, I pray they'll be able to put them to work immediately in their lives, in their families. Young people, put them to work in your life. You're concerned about the future? Put Jesus first in your life. He'll take care of everything else. He'll give you the best job you'd ever think is possible. He'll give you the best friends in your life. I pray for our young people's friends today. Lord, give them good friends. And I pray, Lord, if they have some friends they shouldn't have, I pray that something will happen between them that would discourage this friendship. Lord, they need to have good friends, because these friends will influence their life. And I pray for them to have good friends. We all need friends. So I pray, Father, for good friendships. I pray for these, your people, Lord, that I've been able to share these principles with. I pray they'll be able to put them to work in their life immediately and see the wonderful results by trusting in you, because you want the best for us and you love us unconditionally. Thank you, Lord, for laying this message in my heart, and thank you for all that you want and wish and desire to do in the lives of these people today. In Jesus' name we pray, and everybody said, amen. Lord bless you.